Today's sponsor is Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. Get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/recode and using the promo code RECODE. Terms and conditions apply. Hi, I'm Kara Swisher, executive editor of Recode.
And I'm Lauren Good, senior tech editor at The Verge.
And this is Too Embarrassed to Ask, our podcast about consumer tech.
Not just gadgets, but also apps, services, and really anything that has to do with you, the consumer, and all of your personal tech questions.
So send us your questions. We really do read them all. First, you can tweet them to @Recode or to myself or to Lauren with the hashtag TooEmbarrassed. That's two R's and two S's in embarrassed.
We also have an email address, tooembarrassed@recode.net. Again, that's two R's. And two S's. And in light of last week's events, we're considering going entirely analog, no digital communications whatsoever. So send us your questions or your comments via homing pigeons.
Homing pigeons. That would be great. We have a great back catalog podcast, too, which you can find on iTunes at itunes.com/tooembarrassedtoask.
So I don't know about you, but it felt like getting anything done last week was impossible.
Yeah, impossible.
And this week,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a little hard. It's been a little upsetting, and it's been a lot of ugly stories in the media. Most of them around the election, obviously, and harassment, and everyone's sort of fighting with each other all over the place. So mm-hmm. It feels a little ugly in this country right now. We had a great discussion with Ina Fried from Recode and Russell Brandon from The Verge about this insane election and why using secure messaging apps and stronger encryption might be more important than ever.
Yep. So take a listen when you get a chance. And today on Too Embarrassed to Ask, we're talking all about productivity hacks.
Yeah.
And how tech can help you get your work done faster, or maybe a lack of tech. Every minute you save at work is a minute you can spend anxiously refreshing your Twitter feed for the next 4 years.
Yeah, I think I've got to get off of social media. You know, it's like crazy right at this point. So it's, being more productive would be great. Although I don't want to take a lot of time being productive. And I should also note, earlier this week, we had a Recode conference called Code Enterprise, the Future of Work in San Francisco, and I had a chance to ask a lot of prominent techies, including Mark Benioff, about the future of work, including productivity.
You can find more audio from Code Enterprise on one of Recode's other podcasts, Recode Replay. But for now, at Too Embarrassed, we have our own special guest to talk about this subject. Dieter Bohn is the executive editor at The Verge, also my boss. Not necessarily in that order. He's my boss and the executive editor of The Verge.
Not my boss.
Dieter, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So we're going to talk about productivity.
I actually asked Dieter to come on the show because when I first joined The Verge, I was amazed by Dieter's approach to getting things done. Mm-hmm. I think the first email he sent me was like just filled with this list of websites and products and services I had to start using and integrations and how Trello speaks to calendars, and he's got calendars and email lists speaking to Slack bots. And it just blew my mind. And so I consider Dieter to be one of the most organized people that mm-hmm. I know and have the opportunity to work with. So that's why I brought him on the show. So Dieter, to start, what would your top three productivity hacks be?
Man, that's tough. I would say the first one is, if something is a hassle for you, especially on your computer, Google it. That's my number one productivity hack. Mm-hmm. I get annoyed by certain small things on my computer all the time, and then I go to see if anybody else is annoyed by the same thing, and usually somebody else is, and they've created a fix for it. Mm-hmm. And that's
Google.
Kind of the whole thing.
Hmm.
Yeah, just Google for other people that have the same problem.
If only
and
we
see
had
if
a worldwide
it.
Information system that we could access.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a Slack bot set now to reply to people with, let me Google that for you when they ask you silly questions?
No, that's really mean when you do that to people.
Yeah.
Like, because it does a little mouse and moves over and it, yeah, that's really mean, but like,
all right, Google.
Yeah, Google. That's
so
the number,
number
one productivity
okay,
hack.
Okay, what's your number two?
It gets really granular from there. I would say my number two is probably a piece of software that I use in my Mac. It's called Alfred, mm-hmm. and it's a little tool that lets you type in commands, and then it does stuff. So it's a lot like Spotlight or like Siri now. Like, you can just say what you want, and it gets it back to you. But Alfred is a little bit more extensible, so you can program in all sorts of little gewgaws into it to make stuff happen
like
faster.
What? So like Alfred the butler, right?
Yeah. Okay. So if I want to search just one particular website, I can just type a little key command and it does that. If I want to search for stories that happened in Google but only in the last 24 hours, I can do a little key command and search for that. Mm-hmm. If I want to add something to my to-do list, I just type like T space and then I type
okay,
the thing
I want. Okay, that's real
geeky.
It's super duper geeky.
And right. We should note too, this is not the Alfred. There's a startup that launched, I think, within the past year or so that is like a TaskRabbit-like service called Alfred. This is not that. This is different.
If you're a Windows user, Cortana actually does a lot of this stuff too now. Mm-hmm. The reason I like this idea of like finding a way to have some like text input box that you don't have to think about that just does stuff. You spend too much time. I spend way too much time like programming stuff into it. But there's like a surprising amount of cognitive load when you're trying to task switch. So a lot of people's solutions for when they're multitasking is to just not multitask, to like, I'm going to do this one thing and I'm going to ignore everything else. I'm going to turn off all my notifications and then I'm going to do the next thing. And that's really effective for a lot of people. For me, I don't know, I'm too scatterbrained for that. And I also have a job where I need to pay attention to too many people too often for that. And so having a little text box that I can, instead of like fully task switching to go figure out how to do something, I can just like throw it into a text box and it goes away. And then I can stay a little bit more focused on what it is I'm currently doing is pretty useful.
All right. What's your third one? Because that one's hard for most people, most of the normals.
It is hard, but there's like ways to get around that, especially if you don't want to set up something complicated like Alfred. You can use Siri or you could use Cortana to just like throw it into the void and have the assistant like save your to-do reminder or something. But it's just like have a notes file or a text file where you just switch over to that thing, put in the thing you want to do later. And then, you know, once a day you can just go through and be like, wow, why did I think that was important? Get rid of half of it and then reprioritize the other stuff you want to do. Just a list, a simple list. For me, I prefer to have those lists be digital because there's lots of apps that will sync across your phone and your computer and your tablet.
Which one do you use?
Else.
I use Simple Note.
I use Simple Note as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like Simple Note because it's simple. And it also saves to plain text files, which means that if the company crashes and burns, which companies tend to do sometimes, you've got plain old text files sitting around that you can have for later.
You can export and import. Kara, what are yours? I have a feeling you're going to be somewhat irreverent here.
Not really.
You're
going to be like, just I go back and forth between. I try a lot of productivity apps. I don't find they're very productive. You know, I tried Trello. I can't even understand it. I know you all love it, but I don't get it.
I mean, speak for yourself. What? I don't necessarily love Trello, but we can talk about that in a bit.
You know, there's a lot of them that I try. I tried all of them, I think. And I like Slack. I find it very useful. It's sort of a useful Facebook. Mm-hmm. I find Facebook almost useless at this point because of all the crap that's flowing across the news pages. And it distracts me in a way that is you can't help but look at it. But it's not useful in any way whatsoever. Right. It's a time suck, essentially. Twitter, I do like, but it's a time suck. It's not useful particularly. So I think probably Simple Note is something I use. Slack, I find, you know, it's amusing and at the same time useful. So it serves both purposes. So I'm not totally bored with it. I use paper lists. I use lists on Simple, you know, but sometimes I write things down. I have tried all kinds of the writing down paper stuff that then saves. I don't use it at all. So I think, I hate to say it, but lists are the way I do most things.
What about
lists.
Calendar appointments?
Yes, I use the calendar. I like the calendar. Mm-hmm. I like the Google Calendar and I use it. I find it increasingly, it's a little glitchy in terms of how to use it and I have to figure things out. I find myself trying to figure things out. I don't use almost any Apple software products. I don't find many of them very useful at all. And I've stopped using a lot of those because they're not helpful to me. But in general, you know, I used to use the one that Phil Levin ran, Evernote.
Mm-hmm.
But it was too complicated. I don't know.
And it's too slow.
And slow.
That's the reason I like Simple
And then they
Note
had 90 different things. And then there was like, I never could get it coordinated correctly. So
it's funny, when you start talking about productivity and do you use apps, do you use paper, do you use this, it seems like your decisions fall pretty hard into one of two categories. How do I make myself more productive? And how do I make myself more productive in an environment where I need to deal with other people? Mm-hmm. So like Slack could theoretically make you more productive in dealing with other people. Google Calendar is another really good example. If I didn't have to have appointments where people could see where I am, or I needed to like schedule it with other coworkers, if I didn't have to deal with any of that, I don't know that I would use Google Calendar. I might just use pen and paper.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have to actually interact with other humans, which is awful, and I don't recommend it, that's where software can really come in and help you out
absolutely.
A little bit.
The calendar really creates this kind of dividing. There are people, especially in a professional environment, that really believe your company's calendar should also be integrated with your employees' calendars. You should see where everybody is, and everyone should share their different colored blocks of their calendars. And then that way, when you go to book a meeting, you can just see, oh, Dieter's available then, or he's not available then. And then there are people that just say, No, absolutely not. I'm keeping my own calendar. I don't need to see everybody else's calendar, and the integration just confuses things. And I'm in the latter camp.
Yeah.
I just want my personal calendar to be completely separate from everybody else's calendar, even though it means I might have two calendar apps or tabs open at any given time, and then I have to go back and forth and check. I actually find that to be more productive because I need my own calendar to be separate. I have a productivity hack that is decidedly non-digital, which is, especially having moved to the West Coast, waking up early. Waking up early to me is, if I don't do it, my day is adversely impacted throughout the rest of the day. It's just, I don't know, maybe it's because we work in the news, and having lived on the East Coast for so long prior to this, I would wake up really early and I'd feel like I was ahead of the news to an extent. Mm-hmm. Now, even if I wake up at 5:30, I realize that already on the East Coast, things have been happening around the world.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm missing things. I highly recommend trying to get up as early as possible.
I recommend not picking up your phone.
Yeah.
You know, lately.
Just not picking it up.
Well, you know, I have Simple Note and stuff like that that I need to look at. And at the same time, I feel like it sucks up almost all my day and shouldn't.
I think that, like, I try and wake up early too, which now that I'm on the West Coast means less than it used to. But when I was on the East Coast, I would wake up early and nobody else would be around. And then I was able to actually get something done. And so I think that whether you're a morning person or not, like, very, very aggressively saying this part of my day is going to be for me and what I want to do. And even if that's like watching TV or like staring at, you know, a newspaper or a book or the wall, like having almost every day a time where you are not accountable to anybody but yourself, mm-hmm. I think is actually a really important productivity hack.
Mm-hmm. Have either of you tried bullet journaling?
No. Explain bullet journaling.
So bullet journaling, it's complicated. It's unnecessarily complicated.
Isn't it just
it's a journaling list? System. Okay. It's an analog, it's a paper and pen journaling system, mm-hmm. that involves you going out and buying a notebook of your choice. Some people recommend a Moleskine, which I tend to not get Moleskines because they're mm-hmm. expensive. I go to the Muji store and I get $6 notepads at the Muji store. I don't bullet journal, by the way, but okay. I've talked to people who have. And BuzzFeed actually did a pretty good breakdown of what everything means. Like, it's a method, according to BuzzFeed, it's a method of journaling and note-taking that uses bullet points as the core structure. You can do a daily log, you can do a monthly log, you can do rapid logging, you can do an index, which is sort of this table of contents that you update as you go, according to this breakdown of it. But the whole idea is that you are journaling, but you're keeping your sentences and your notes as sort of tight and as structured as possible. And some people get really into using multicolored pens, they've color-coded
things. That's for the anal retentive.
So we talked to Verge's Casey Newton before we taped this podcast, because mm-hmm. Casey has gotten into bullet journaling, and he shared an interesting insight, which is that because it is on some level so complicated or requires a little bit of work, it creates this inherent tension in doing it and creating like a calendar where you really are prioritizing as you do it. You're not just writing stuff down to write them down. There's not just all this digital clutter, digital junk flooding into your inbox, your calendar, whatever it is. He looks at his
I see the point. You're trying to get to a place of clarity, right? That's the concept. But here you are doing different colored pens, which means you're anal retentive and obsessive compulsive. And so it's a waste of your time.
There are also people on Instagram. This is not a joke. There are people on Instagram that post their bullet journal creations and share them, which to me is it's sort of the antithesis of a journal. I think of all the years I spent trying to get my brothers not to read my journal mm-hmm. by hiding it in various places. And now these people are just putting them on the internet.
Welcome to 2016 social media. You know, it's an interesting idea. I just don't think there's any, I never did a journal when I was a kid. I never did any diaries. I think that my life is not nearly that interesting. And when would I read it? When I'm dead? It's just the whole thing. It's like there's these people that chronicle every minute of their life kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And God love them, but what a bunch of crazy people. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Like, how interesting, you know, unless you're like, I don't know, Oprah, I don't see it. I just don't see it.
I mean, I look at these productivity systems, so I'm not super familiar with bullet journaling, but like back in the day, you remember the Franklin mm-hmm. planners?
Franklin planners.
They had a whole complex system.
People mm-hmm. love those things.
Yeah, and that inspired like the Palm Pilot, kicked mm-hmm. off the PDA stuff. Later on, there was 43 folders. Merlin Mann's thing.
Yep,
that's right. There's a whole system of folders, and you know, there were 43 of them.
And there's been a bunch of apps like that, too.
One for each day.
Right.
And
these were digital folders?
Yeah, well, but also real folders, if you want to.
Wunderlist, there was Clear. Remember Clear?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Clear. There was, oh my God, there was a to-do app called Epic Win that had, it was like a role-playing game. You had little, like, Dungeons and Dragons characters that would, like, get achievements when you checked off your list.
Yeah. People like checking, making lists and then checking them off.
I think
I would put Breathe, check.
Having like a structure around your like productivity is like comforting, and having it require a little bit of work means that it is actually a thing that you pay attention to. And so it gives you some like sense of order. But the problem or the thing to contend with is you want that little bit of a system and a little bit of a sense of order so that you like, you know how you're going to think about everything that you have to do, and you don't have to like worry about that because you've got a system to handle it for you.
The problem is a lot of them don't, you know, they're designed by other people, so they don't fit your mentality. And that's the issue is, and when you make a list, it's your, the human mind is very good about sorting. It's like sorting your sock drawer. People just do it automatically or don't. I'm super anal retentive. But that's just for you yourself. And so I think the problem with a lot of these productivity acts is there's always something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like it's not quite what I want. It would be nice if there was some way you could plug and play stuff that you like.
Right. Or if not something wrong with them, as Dieter mentioned earlier, the fear that in 2 years it's no longer going to exist and now you've become reliant on this app or this system.
Well, my problem is you get into productivity hacking and all of a sudden you spend more time screwing around with your productivity system than you do actually doing the stuff
things.
In the
system. That's the point.
What do you both find are your biggest distractions?
Twitter.
I mean, we're journalists, right? Like, that's the thing.
Do you actually consider Twitter
a I kind of want to put Twitter out of business at this point. Like, you know what I mean? Because it's taken up so much of my time. I'm like, I don't mean that, Twitter, a little bit. But, you know.
Why don't you buy it?
When I buy it and close it. Sorry, everybody. We're done with this. If I was that rich, I might do it. Like, and just say I'm closing it. And they're like, don't. Then all these journalists are like, it's for sale to someone. I'll be like, no, I'm not going to sell it to anyone. I'm just going to keep it in this box. You know, never, ever have it ever again. I think Twitter is probably the biggest waste of time, and seconded by Facebook. And I don't use Facebook that much, but it's the same thing. And then news reading, I guess, right now.
Yeah.
I would say Facebook is a slightly bigger distraction for me than Twitter, not because I spend more time on Facebook, but because the content I see on Facebook is not necessarily relevant to what I'm doing throughout the day. Whereas when I go on Twitter, I at least feel somewhat validated by, okay, I follow a lot of news people, I follow a lot of interesting figures and people who I want to see what their updates are. And so it kind of feeds into what I'm doing in the news. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's just a weird justification. And I also feel, I have lists, but I feel distracted sometimes by personal lists versus professional lists. Like, I'll be in the middle of doing a professional task and I'll think, oh no, I've got this thing on my personal list, which means sending a gift to someone's baby shower that has to arrive by Saturday, which means if I don't order it now, then it's not going to get there, or like booking a flight by this time so that I can get to, you know, A to B. And so then all of a sudden the sort of the personal list bleeds into professional, and vice versa, by the way. I spend a lot of my weekends working. So it's like, I think that conflict that happens between the like the two different to-do lists is one of my bigger distractions.
My way of handling that is I have two Google accounts. And so like my Verge account is a Google account. And if I have something to do, I throw it into that. If I have a personal thing at work, I talk to my phone and it gets saved to like my personal Google Assistant because my phone's tied to my personal one. Hmm. And then I flip it when I'm at home and I pay attention to that account instead of paying attention to my work account.
Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting way to do it. Yeah, you can separate the two of them. It's hard. I think I don't know how old you are, but I think I'm older than both of you by quite a bit. But one of the things I was trying to think the other day is I was sitting here, so I just did a move, and so I have so much crap, and then half of me is figuring out how to best organize it, and half of me just wants to just vomit because I have so much stuff. But I was thinking, what did I used to do before I did this, and how am I incapable of doing that now, like sitting still and not grabbing the phone? Or looking up something or figuring something out. And I don't remember what I used to do. Like, I honestly don't.
I clearly remember because I had somebody make fun of me for it. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, early in digital and I was going to grad school and I was sitting in a coffee shop and I was like the only person with a smartphone. It was, you know, a Treeho and had like the big flip up glass plastic window. And, you know, I was looking some stuff up on it and I realized I have to stop. And then I felt this urge to just go check stuff online. And this is like, you know, 2003 or something. Mm. And then I realized the fix for it is crossword puzzles.
Mm,
because you get that tiny little fix of information, like the length of a tweet it fits into your brain in terms of like building a narrative. And that it's like, but it's also like it has an end. And so if you like are feeling an urge to check Twitter or check Facebook, and you know that if you do it, you're going to throw away 45 minutes of your life, just do a crossword puzzle.
That's
and
a great idea.
You know,
I like that productivity.
A little bit smarter. And,
ultimate productivity hack.
So it's good for your brain, right?
Yeah. Crossword puzzles. Yes.
How about just walking around?
Yeah. What about yoga?
Yeah. I mean,
I've been trying to get Dieter on the yoga train ever since he moved to California. It hasn't
You're going to have to, Dieter, now that you're here. I do yoga and I fucking hate yoga. So just you have to do it. Yeah. I have a t-shirt that said,
she posted a picture of it the other day saying she was doing yoga and she hates yoga.
I have a t-shirt that says fuck yoga. So you can borrow it. But I still go there with that t-shirt on. I get a lot of looks from the yoga lady. There you have it. So one of the things that's interesting is, you know, we'll finish up with this and then get to questions, is this Pew Media study of July 2016 on a study of people who use social media as part of their jobs. 56% of workers who use social media platforms for work-related purposes agree that social media distracts them from the work they need to do, with 30% agreeing strongly. But 42% of these workers disagree that social media is a distraction, mostly because they don't want to do their work, would be my guess, and they'd rather look at squirrel videos. What do you think about that, Dieter?
It sounds right. I don't know. I think that it's distracting, but it's also easy to like overthink how distracting it is. Mm-hmm. Like, really, we just want to be distracted. It's not like it's this thing that's inflicted on us. We just do it to ourselves.
Yeah. And
sounds like more people are self-aware of that than I am.
Yeah. You know what some people do is they actually write down what they do. And there's an app on your computer that'll tell you where you spend most of your time. And then when you start to look at it, it's really, I forget what it's called, but it'll tell you where you were and what time you wasted.
Oh,
and
it's like battery usage, but for your productivity.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the one that's sucking up all of your time.
Well, I it was fascinating. I really did waste my time on Twitter a lot.
I mean, I have to say, it wasn't that long ago that if you were working in a newsroom, if you were on Facebook and Twitter, you felt like you kind of had to hide it.
Yeah.
This is what, you know, 6 or 7 years ago?
Yeah,
it was this way. And now it's if you're not on them and you're not using them as a means to distribute the stuff that you're working on, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in a minute, we're going to talk more about productivity hacks. But first, let's make some money. First up is a word from our sponsor, SoFi. This show is brought to you by SoFi, and today I'm talking with John Foley, president of wealth at SoFi, who is here to break down investing. SoFi is a new kind of finance company offering student loan refinancing, mortgages, personal loans, wealth management, and more. Today I'm asking John a question that some people may be too embarrassed to ask about investments. So what is the most common investments people make? Probably just sticking money in the mattress or the bank, correct?
Well, it depends on how you define investments. I mean, there are a lot of people who have invested heavily in their education, whether they paid for it yet or not. And that's one of the best investments you can make. You know, pretty much. I mean, the better educated you are, generally speaking, there's a direct correlation to your income. People invest in their home. What I think you're really talking about, though, is how do young people get started in the investment world?
Right.
And the best way to do that is to just, you know, save what you can in any of several different ways you might do that and put it in diversified mutual funds or exchange traded funds to slowly build wealth over time.
See how a SoFi loan can work for you at SOFI.com. Terms and conditions apply at SoFi.com/legal. This podcast is also sponsored by Indeed Prime. Indeed Prime is a talent platform that matches elite tech talent with top companies. They make it easier for software engineers to find and land their dream job. With their help, you can get immediate exposure to the best tech companies with one simple application. And when you're hired, Indeed Prime gives you a $2,000 bonus. That's their way of saying thank you. But if you use our too embarrassed to ask link, you get a $5,000 bonus instead. So sign up for Indeed.com/recode. Indeed Prime is 100% free for job candidates and helps hiring managers discover available high-quality talent. Learn more at Indeed.com/recode. Every week, we either take questions from our readers or solicit comments from them online. And again, you can do that by tweeting us with the hashtag TooEmbarrassed, or you can email TooEmbarrassed@recode.net. This week, we asked you for your productivity hacks because we need all the help we can get. Lauren, do you want to read through the first couple of tips?
Do I ever?
Oh, wow.
The first one is from Sally Kuchar, who works with us. Mm-hmm. She is an editor at Curbed. She says, literally, bullet journaling has changed my life. So there is one proponent of bullet journaling.
She doesn't say how, though, right?
She doesn't say how, but, you know, then again, we only have 140 characters to work with here, Kara. But maybe you can change that when you buy Twitter.
Okay.
Also, Olivia, at Olivia says, old school. I store my to-do list in my email drafts folder, which is, I mean, how old school is that? It's I mean, old school in terms of, you know, it's not paper and pen, but I guess old school in terms of, Have you ever done that and stored your to-do list in your email drafts? No. I've never even...
I'm the super nerd. I use an app called Inbox that Google makes. Mm-hmm. And so you can store to-do lists in your inbox and you can snooze them for later. So I manage to keep my inbox at like under 50 emails most of the time because I'm so aggressive about just getting rid of stuff that I know I'm not going to do.
Oh, good for you. Do you want to know how many emails I have?
No, I do not.
24,000. I'm up there too. I swear to God.
It's mostly Pottery Barn ads. Yeah. All right. So putting a to-do list in email drafts folder. This is Jeff Kushmerick at Kushdog. Schedule time to do work in Outlook. Backlog to-dos in Evernote, but use paper checklist for three most important of the day. What do you think of it? Talk about Outlook a little bit, Dieter, because that's become very popular. People have mentioned how good Outlook is now.
The mobile app especially got really good. They bought a company called Acompli?
Acompli.
And then they also have integrated Sunrise into it. And so their mobile app went from kind of garbage to incredibly good. And so
Sunrise is a calendar app.
And so,
and they bought Wunderlist too, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't know if they've got that fully integrated into Outlook or not yet. But regardless, like it's, you know, Outlook was always the best, like, you know, calendar, email, productivity app on the desktop. And it was really behind on mobile, but now they are caught up. So a lot of people like it, whether or not they use Microsoft's email.
And Evernote you don't use, correct?
I only don't use Evernote because I feel like it's too slow. But if you are the sort of person who likes to think in like little recordings and snippets of text and like pictures and stuff, and you want to organize all that stuff in a crazy way, Evernote's kind of your best option.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next comment is from Utterly Random Techie, which is just a great Twitter handle. Mm-hmm. IFTTT, which is If This Then That, is a godsend, connects with almost every service I use. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with what is that? IFTTT, or IFT, as people call it, it literally means If This Then That, and it sort of that name sort of harkens back to a very familiar coding phrase, and it refers to this idea that you can patch apps together using their open APIs, and you can say, if one app performs this function or if I do something in this app, then tell this other app to do something. And I've used it a bunch before with health and fitness applications. Mm-hmm. So for example, let's say I was wearing a Jawbone Up and I said every time I hit 10,000 steps on my Jawbone Up, I wanted to trigger a tweet and tell everybody that I did it, or I wanted to trigger something else in one of my food logging apps. So you can literally, but that's just that one example. There are literally thousands of examples out there where you can tell apps to do certain things based on other actions.
I wish I could just speak to apps. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we still haven't gotten anywhere in the speaking. Like, you want that sort of she from the movie where it just does things for you without all this complexity.
I think we're still a few years out from that. It's only now that Google and Apple are actually like letting third-party developers even talk to their assistants.
This is true. I've tried that in the car because now I spend a fair amount of time driving, and sometimes things occur to me and I say, oh, I should take notes. Even note-taking using voice, whether it's Google Assistant or whether it's Siri, it's not a particularly good experience. Take another note. Okay, now take another one. Okay, now take another one. And then you get back to your desk and you've got four new notes in Keep, and they're not collated. They're all separate notes, and there's some work to be done there for sure.
So the next one is Shane Gerhardt's Checker Plus for Google, never heard of it, calendar, and Keep. However, Google Suite is a must for any company. Will you unpack that, Dieter?
Keep is Google's note-taking app. It sort of feels like a bunch of digital Post-it notes, although it's gotten a little bit, you know, more powerful.
There used to be an app
that.
Like that you put on your computer. You could put digital, remember that? Digital Post-it, those went.
I think that Google is pretty good for people that want to have like an organized central place for productivity, except that Google is incredibly schizophrenic and inefficient when it comes to just basic to-do lists. Mm-hmm. They get tossed in Keep, they get thrown in like your inbox, they appear in your calendar, they don't just have a to-do app. And so like keeping track of the stuff that you're trying to like make a list of within Google is actually like incredibly complicated.
What is Checker Plus?
I am not familiar with Checker Plus.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that either.
And Google Suite? He's going to Google it right
Google
now.
Suite is just the general suite of docs, Google Calendar.
Okay,
Also, you'll be talking to Diane Greene.
Yes, I will.
This week at, tomorrow. By the time you hear this podcast, this will already have happened. Mm-hmm. But Kara is interviewing Diane Greene, who runs
in charge of their cloud.
Google Work, essentially. Google Work.
Yeah, I should prepare for the interview, I think. next one is Brian Douglas, B. Dougie Yo. I use at Calendy for scheduling, the best. I'll see Prod in Tech podcast for more helpful tips. Oh, okay, productivity in tech. Do you know Calendy?
Calendly for scheduling. I don't know Calendly, and I also do not know the Prod in Tech podcast. Mm-hmm. So, Brian, thanks for sharing your wisdom with us.
Yeah.
We're going to have to check those out.
We will.
Let's see. The next one is from at MacPPOI. I'm sorry, I'm not going to pronounce your name because I'm just going to butcher it. But thank you for sending in your tweets. If I have to do something, I create a simple bullet points list of smaller steps. I often use Google Keep for that because I can have a check mark for every point, and ticking them off is super satisfying. Yeah. Going back to just checking things off the list sometimes
can be really satisfying. You have to have a check.
Kara, I'm going to let you read this one because I think you're really going to like this solution.
All right. Okay. There is, just on the check though, it is. There's something, you've got to make people feel like
they've
accomplished something. So it's still the same old human lizard brain issue. And this is from Alex Hardy at Can't Hardy Wait. I recently installed this site, Go Fucking Work, and it blocks the most distracting sites.
Yeah.
GoFuckingWork.com. So I love it.
So go to it because I went to it earlier and it said I was like a fucking failure and I needed to go do work.
Fucking work now.
The homepage is like, you're dying soon. Go work.
You know, I just tweeted. I have special hashtags.
Yours says you're dying soon?
Yeah. Stop fucking refreshing. Yeah.
Mine just said,
refreshing the page.
All right. GoFuckingWork.com. It's perfect. I just had a new hashtag because all the Trumpies complaining about work, you fuckity fuck. Okay, that's a site after my own heart. I think I must have invented it. I'm going to buy that now.
You might like that. Oh, yeah, I just got the "You're Dying Soon" work. Yeah. So this is made with "Fucking Love" by Alexander Lamb. Mm-hmm. Alexander, thank you for giving us a little injection of levity. And Alex Hardy, thank you for sharing this.
We appreciate it.
Yes. The next one is from Veer at Veer Narajani. OmniFocus for to-dos, blocking off the calendar to execute to-dos, and Evernote for notes. Also, Headspace for my brain. And I have to say that Veer is not the only person who suggested just, you know, giving your brain a break. Someone else, Tech Coolness, says turning it all off and getting a good sleep.
Yeah. Putting your computer somewhere else.
If you are into lists and nested lists and everything that's out there that you've tried is not living up to what you really want to do to get deep into nested lists, OmniFocus is like wildly powerful. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people really do like it.
OmniFocus.
It's been around forever on the Mac. It's a crazy, like, intense list app, basically. And that's the only thing it's for.
Is it super complexified?
You can make it as simple as you want, or you can just go wildly complex and have to-do lists embedded inside to-do lists related to other to-do lists. You can just go bonkers with it.
You see, someone who has this problem, anal retentiveness, cannot do that.
Because
I'll just go down the rabbit hole.
And you'll never come out.
It's like rearranging the silverware. I could spend years doing that.
Sorting the socks.
Sorting. Yeah. You have to really... I used to turn cans of soup.
Really?
The right way. You got to battle it.
I'm that way with wires. Like all the charging cables and everything.
I
spend hours just like figuring out the best way to tie them.
Do you get multicolored garbage bag ties to tie them all together? I've thought about doing that.
There's special Velcro ties that you
can get. With three like really anal retentive people.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, with the amount of gadgets also that we handle and ship and everything else, it really is good to keep the wires straight.
I mean, like, apparently the smartest people are the most chaotic. You know, they just have chaos everywhere. You know, Megan was like that. And just chaos, and they're supposedly smarter because they allow chaos to happen, and the rest of us are not.
Yeah, and there are definitely some people who are not geniuses.
And what about the idea of turning it all off? You know, Ayanna Huffington, that's what's her thing, turn it off, you put your phone away. And I would actually do that if Peter Kafka didn't exist, because he has to text me every morning something that'll fuck with me, you know, that I'm missing or something like that. But and I live in fear of not answering him rather quickly. I'm sorry he's going to be listening to this. But, you know, like there's certain things like I don't feel like I can, but I should be able to. What do you think about those movements to nap and to get off of it or remove it from yourself? Because it is an addiction, and that's clear.
Yeah, I think that I think it's really important. I think that it's really easy, especially if you, you know, work with a bunch of other people, to assume that they own you and own your life and own all your time because you feel responsible to the people that you're around. But it turns out that the people you're around are, by and large, adults and can handle themselves if you are gone for an hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. I have a coworker who I will not name who takes a nap every day in our New York office at The Verge. And I think it's the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just straight up disappears, takes a nap. There's not a nap pod, but there is a quote-unquote phone room where you're supposed to go to make phone calls that there happens to be like a easy chair in there instead of just a hard bench. Yeah.
And as a manager, do you push that? Do you say everybody take a nap?
I don't push naps, but if I discover someone's taking a nap, I don't freak out about it.
Mm-hmm. We had a colleague at All Things D who did that.
Who did that? I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I don't care.
No, I mean, he did not hide it. He would literally sleep on the floor in the middle of our tiny little newsroom in Soma. You said it, not me.
Mike Isaac.
We love you, Mike.
We love you, Mike. But sure, but that was just, you know, Mike.
Right, but he did great work.
Hard.
He always did great, and he still does great work.
I used to tell when I worked at the Washington Post, when they were always, you know, a lot of times people are always monitoring you and where you are, and this is way before they actually could monitor you and where you are. And I did great work there, and they would always want to know where you were. And I said, would you care if I'm at the movies all day if I turn in the right story? I don't really, you know, and I think as a manager, I think about that. If they want to do the movies all day and they get their story, as long as they deliver their stuff, I don't care what they do all day.
How do you both know when it's time for each of you to take that break? Like, at what point? What's your cue? Like, okay, my brain's not working.
I don't do it too. Well. I can't believe I've been going this long for so long. I really don't. I actually am wondering when it's going to collapse.
Yeah, for me, it's the worst. It's when I catch myself being just a total asshole to somebody. I'm like, oh, I am beyond my limit.
You're a nice guy. Yeah.
I think for me, it's when I can't actually formulate words, when I'm staring at the computer screen and not just like writer's block or, okay, let me just put some words down and see if the words flow from here and I just have to put something down. I mean, next level, I'm having word retrieval issues. Really? I can't think of the words I want to put down, and I need to step away from
like
the screen.
I feel like I've become hardwired not to stop. It's a really fascinating thing. I was always like that, but I think I'm now absolutely hardwired not to stop. It's weird.
Wow.
I know. I was thinking that.
It's a real therapy session we're having right now.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think Kara might be the first robot in our midst.
No,
I
wish
it wasn't
the case. I was trying to be still the other day, and I just couldn't do it. It's either a learned thing or it's already done. Kind of thing, and I think a lot of people feel like that.
Telling you, crossword puzzle.
I do
that's
crossword puzzles.
That's how you get from the
agitated
chill. I do
hundreds of them. It still doesn't, but you're right. I agree with you because it's mentally challenging and interesting, and actually, you learn a lot. You learn a lot of stuff like that. I do them every day. The New York Times crossword puzzle. There's a lot of political stuff in them now, so I'm kind of irritated by that. In any case, this has been great. So last thing, Dieter, so the one thing of all the things, give one, Google.
Just Google it.
Like, just Google
it. If you think something is annoying or you think you could do something a little bit faster, almost surely, especially if it comes to like a computer thing, somebody else has got the same thing that they've been trying
to
do.
Lauren?
Waking up early. That's my number one productivity hack. Get up earlier than everyone else, or just get up early for you and give yourself an extra half hour to sort of collect your thoughts, take care of some things you need to take care of, maybe go exercise. That sets the tone for the day, I think.
All right. I think get to fucking work. Get to fucking yoga. Both. That's your advice there, Dieter. All right. This has been another great episode of Too Embarrassed to Ask. Dieter, thank you for joining us.
Yes. Thank you, Dieter. Boss, if you enjoyed the episode as much as we did, be sure to subscribe to the show and also leave us a review. Just take a few minutes. You won't get too distracted. Just go to iTunes.com/Too Embarrassed to Ask.
And subscribing is great. Be the first to listen to new episodes every Friday or catch up on previous episodes where we answer all of the tech questions that our listeners have been too embarrassed to ask.
So go to iTunes.com/Too Embarrassed to Ask. Also, you can subscribe on Google Play Music, TuneIn, or Stitcher, or just go to the website. Go to recode.net/podcast. You can find a whole bunch there.
And while you're there, you should check out our other podcasts like Recode Decode, Recode Replay, and Recode Media with Peter Kafka.
Also, there's The Verge. And we have a whole bunch of podcasts. They're really good. Walt Mossberg and Eli Patel host Control Wall Delete. Eli also usually hosts The Verge Cast, in which Dieter is a regular guest, and Chris Plant hosts What's Tech.
Don't forget to tweet your questions ahead of time to @Recode with the hashtag TooEmbarrassed. And you can also give us suggestions for shows or email them to TooEmbarrassed@Recode.net.
Thank you again for listening. And thank you to our sponsors, Casper, SoFi, and Indeed Prime. Thanks also to Digital Media, the company that distributes the show. We'll be back next week to answer more of the questions you've been too embarrassed to ask, so tune in then.